Take my words and speak through them. Take our ears and hear through them. Take our hearts and set them on fire with love for you. In the name of Christ. Amen. Please be seated. Very good morning, everyone, and thank you for being here. You're going to put up with me for the next 10, 15 minutes. There is so much, and why I'm saying this, there is so much to reflect and talk about this morning. The texts are so vibrant. There is so much meaning in them. It has significance and a lot of teaching. I could probably be preaching the whole time about the Old Testament, but I'm not going to do that. I'm going to be preaching about the three readings. And at the end, I'm going to have a little bit of the psalm that we were supposed to have today, which is Psalm 27. Before diving in the text, I wanted to ask you if you all knew what is Lent for. And if you know why we are having this beautiful color, purple, and Philip now is dressed in a purple stole or band, and yeah, he's demonstrating. Very good, Philip. And why purple is the color of Lent? That's a very good answer. Lent is, and thank you so much, Lent for coming to my rescue. Lent is a time of preparation. We remember Christ's temptations, that was the gospel we had last week, his suffering, his death, before his glorious resurrection. Purple is actually the color that Mark and John tell us Jesus wore before he was killed. Purple is a color normally associated with nobility, kings and nobles, because it comes from a very costly and laborious process to have it, to make it. The robe of Christ is, or was, probably a symbolic act, that even though it was intended to disrespect him, it actually conveyed a message. And this is the reason why purple is the color. You might be thinking, how is this actually linked at all to the readings? It's like, why is this man telling me this thing this morning instead of being sleeping? Well, the text this morning, at least what I interpret from reading them, is that for us it is important not to lose sight, to have faith and put attention to God, and to continue the mission of Jesus. Those are the three key points of the text we read this morning. And these three points are exactly what Lent is about. The time to put, to strengthen our faith, to put our attention on God, and to continue the mission of Jesus, which is to bring peace, love, and inclusion to everyone, everywhere. And I'm going to start with the first reading. And I think this is the one I'm going to be talking the most about this morning. God has a conversation with Abram. Not with Abraham, with Abram. Sight is a great gift. Losing sight, I think, is frightening. I can see 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 people, and I think Philip too, who wear glasses. When you misplace your glasses, or when you lose, anyway, when you lose a contact lens, when you actually misplace your glasses. I think that's bad enough because you cannot properly see. But what if we couldn't see what someone else tells us is there? What if someone made us a promise that we couldn't see. This is what God does with Abram in the first reading today. Abram and his wife, Sarai, are childless, but they long for a son to carry on the family name. God then takes Abram outside. There you go. And he says to him something very, very, very strange. At least I find it. There is a game in here, a lot of play with light and stars and shadows and smoke and all these holy things. You know, it's really terrifying when you look at it closely. God says to Abram, look towards heaven and count the stars, if you are able to count them. And then he continues. He says to him, so shall your descendants be. That's actually an amazing promise. I remember I went once to a camp when I was a child, and it was a starry night. We were actually looking at the stars, and I couldn't actually count them. It was so impressive. Have you tried to count the stars? Have you been successful? Probably not. Okay. God promises that his descendants are going to be as numerous as the stars. That's kind of infinite in number. But there is more. Because if you look closely at this passage, God is not talking to Abram at night, right? He's talking to Abram during daytime. So that is like the circus, even more difficult. You have to do more. I mean, because it's daytime, and I'm asking you to count the stars. I mean, you cannot even see them. Later, in the first reading, it says that when the sun had set and it was dark, and this is how we know the setting of this reading, the Lord made a covenant with Abram. So it was daylight, we have established that, and God told Abram to count the stars. And this required probably a leap, huge leap of faith from Abram. And this is why the reading says that a deep, terrifying darkness enveloped Abram before the sun had set. It's because God asked him to believe without seeing. He asked, do you believe in me and in my promise, even though you don't see the stars? Abram believed. And several chapters later, he has a son, Isaac. And Abram is now known to us as Abraham, which means the father of a multitude. In our own life, God will ask us the same question. There are times where we can see the stars of God's promise. But he asks us to believe, not so much in an idea, which is good, but also in a person. In him, he asks us to entrust ourselves to him. So we can say along with St. Paul, for we walk by faith, not by sight. And this is not blindness. It's actually actively entrusting our lives to the God who loves us. According to the Jewish tradition, Abraham lived about 1,800 years before the birth of Christ. What could his story mean for us today? I think it's simple. We too are called to walk by faith. That's the message. We need to have faith, a lot of faith. In these uncertain times, there is war in Ukraine, we have this pandemic, and things, the status quo, seems to be crumbling so easily, so quickly. The prices are rising, everything is so crazy. This world has so much need. We need to have faith. So this morning, among other things, I would like to propose one simple takeaway. Each day, ask God, where are you leading me today? Where are you taking me? Lent is a perfect time to do this. It's a time to turn to the Lord in a deeper way. Every time by simply asking this question, we are making an act of faith in God. We don't know exactly where He's leading us. We don't know what is going to happen today. In fact, and you know I like the life of the saints and I like reading all these things, Saint Philip Neri, who was an Italian priest and a saint of the 16th century, used to say, "Lord, help me to get through today, and I won't worry about tomorrow. Help me to go through today, and I won't worry about tomorrow. I wish I could." But when we ask God where He's leading us, we are handing our lives over to Him. Now, we are about to receive the Eucharist. And that's an invitation to speak with Christ. It's an invitation to tell Him what's on our hearts, to ask Him. Try to do this today, maybe. "Lord, where are you leading me?" And like Abraham, we can begin to walk by faith, knowing that God is leading us home towards heaven. And I think this would have been a perfect sermon, well, more or less. But I'm going to continue with Philippians, and I'm going to continue with the gospel just a little bit. Now, we move to the New Testament, to the letter to the Philippians. We have this context, and the context is St. Paul has a problem. In Philippi, there were some Jews, some followers that were called the Judaizers. I don't know if I pronounced this well. Can you repeat? Judaizers. Something like Judaizers. Everybody, please. Thank you so much. So I said, well. So the Judaizers believed that Christians still had to follow all the regulations in the Old Testament. Can you imagine? The Ten Commandments. Those regulations included complex dietary restrictions, which is why St. Paul's right of these mistaken Christians. Their God is the belly, because they have to follow all these things. Thank goodness I'm covered in here, but that included the circumcision too, which is why he writes to them, putting their glory in their shame. That is the mark of circumcision, which was put on the private parts of their bodies, the parts kept hidden most of the times by modesty. St. Paul says that those who are putting their hope in these external regulations are enemies of the cross of Christ. We may think this doesn't apply to us today. At the end of the day, we are people of the new covenant, okay? But I think it does apply to us somehow. The Judaizers like those external regulations because they give them control. They could control. I do this and it's good. I do that and it's good. And then I don't have to worry about anything else. They could use them, those regulations, to measure their holiness by their external appearances and achievements. I think because we are humans, we all like to do the same thing. We measure our worth by our achievements and our appearances, by the things we can control. But I'm afraid this is not where true holiness comes from. It comes from having our citizenship in heaven, having our citizenship in heaven. What does that mean? That means to follow the law of heaven, which is the law of Christ, the law of love for our neighbor, the love of inclusion. It is an interior law. To follow Christ, in other words, is to relinquish control. There you go. I give it to you. I am here. I surrender. It is no longer our achievements that matter. It is our trusting obedience to Christ, which is the same fabric of the faith Abraham is asked to have. I'm not done yet, I'm afraid, not yet. There is more. I'm going to touch a little bit in the gospel. The gospel is very short, but also contains so much you know, we could be talking here for the whole morning, but don't worry, I'm not going to do that. I wish I had more time, though. This gospel passage invites Christians today to reflect on the meaning of Jesus, life of death, and the role we play in the continuing mission of Jesus. And this is kind of a reiteration of the things I said before. In this particular chapter, Luke meets Jesus in the middle of his troubles. He's traveling, and he started traveling in Luke 9, a little bit before. And then he is warned by a group of Pharisees about the dangers of moving forward. Hey, we are going to kill you. We are going to do naughty things to you. The gospel tells us Jesus had no intentions of halting his troubles because of the threat by the governing powers, the threat of violence, a threat that has been channeled into action in the past. Jesus emphasizes his words by assuring his listeners the work he's doing will be done today, and then the next, and the day after that, alluding, probably in our minds, to his greatest work, which is the redemption that we achieve through his death and resurrection. Then he repeats to himself, yet today, tomorrow, and the next day, I must be on my way, because it is impossible for a prophet to be killed away from Jerusalem. And Jesus continues, and this is super famous, the most famous line in this account. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to him. Jesus is lamenting over Jerusalem, but not because it would kill him, or because it has killed other prophets before him. Instead, he lamented because Jerusalem, the Holy Land, has not been faithful to the covenant that made it a holy city. How often, Jesus says, have I desired to gather your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you were not willing. Jesus laments that his beloved city, Jerusalem, does not accept his protection and motherly care. We are Jerusalem. We need to have the faith, the openness to accept Jesus' protection and motherly care. The readings today are dense, powerful, strong. They say that we need to have faith, that we need to put our attention on God, to trust in him, and that we need, like Jesus, to allow that faith to continue, to help us continue with his mission of love, peace, and inclusion for everyone. And this is what Lent is about. And I'm going to repeat, a time to try to make our faith stronger, to put our attention on God and continue the redeeming mission of Jesus Christ, who at the end of the day is our Lord and Savior. Let us pray. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom then shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom then shall I be afraid? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.